Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. What if the key to cleaner oceans is hidden in the texture of a wall? Happy New Year! Yes, it is January 1st of 2026. Can you believe it? Well, we are going to start off this year with a bang, as they say. That means in an exciting way, by talking about walls and corridors. I know that's what everyone has been dreaming of, to begin the new year talking about walls and corridors. My name is Gabe, and yes, I'm not alone in the studio. I'm joined here by Linda. Linda, thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having me, Gabe, and Happy New Year. I can't believe it's already 2026. The time has flown by. But I'm excited to talk about our first article of the year.
I figured you might be, Linda. I'm actually very happy to have you in the studio, as it is a very eco-conscious article. Mm-hmm. That means, intentionally helping us be aware of things that are going on in the environment. When we talk about ecology, that often has to do with the environment. Eco-friendly, that means friendly for the environment. And Linda, I mean, walls and corridors. Like, I don't know. What did you think of when you saw that title?
Well, I wasn't too impressed by the title, but I was interested in the content, mm-hmm. and that it also takes place in my hometown, Miami.
Oh, yeah.
So another reason to like this article, not just because I'm an eco-warrior, but also mm-hmm. because it's in Miami.
When was the last time you were in Miami?
It's been a couple years, yeah.
Do you miss it?
Some parts, yes. Mm-hmm. It's really nice to visit. When you see pictures of Miami, you see beaches, and it's the climate is great because you can be outdoors in shorts most mm-hmm. of the year, like pretty much all year round. So great weather, great beaches, and it's a very festive environment because you have this multicultural environment mm-hmm. where you have many people from different cultures and different countries. And
yeah, a lot of people from the Caribbean islands, mm-hmm. right?
Yes, like that my family. And then you also have people from Latin America. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of Spanish-speaking communities, mm-hmm. also Haitian Creole-speaking. And so you just get this big mixture of people. And so if you like to experience like different cultures, music, food, mm-hmm. Languages, then Miami is a great place to visit.
Is melting pot a good way to describe Miami?
It is, yes. But the types of people within that melting pot are a bit limited. I mean, you do have a variety, but there are more than others. Yeah, they're like a lot more like Spanish speakers or people mm-hmm. of the Latin culture mm-hmm. in that melting pot.
I see. I've always wanted to visit Miami one of these days.
Yes, one of these days you can.
I'll be able to make it over there. But I have a question here. When you think of seawalls, do you picture protection for people or destruction of marine life?
I think more of protection in general. Mm-hmm. Because I've walked on seawalls, I don't think of it as a destructive thing, mm-hmm. but I can imagine it does have destructive properties because it's not natural, for mm-hmm. one thing. Mm. And so it can contribute to damaging that natural environment.
Yeah, that's an interesting point, the idea that if something is not natural, we need to be extra careful about or think a little more about how it's actually impacting the environment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that is what this project does. Like, it takes into consideration the natural elements that this seawall should mimic, or the tiles should mimic, which we'll get into later.
Yeah, it is quite interesting. It's something I did not know before, so I definitely learned something new as I was preparing for this lesson. Yeah, first of all, before we get into the reading, a seawall. What is a seawall? You said it's not natural. It's man-made?
Right. It is man-made. It's usually made of concrete, something that will stand up to the surges. And especially in South Florida, in Miami, we get hurricanes, which are typhoons, but in the Atlantic Ocean. And hurricanes tend to be stronger on average than typhoons. So you get these powerful storm surges and waves hitting the coast. And so these walls are built to prevent the coast from being worn away, from degrading.
Yeah, erosion, right? And we're going to talk about degradation, erosion in our lesson today. You're going to learn what all those words are. And like Linda said, you know, these things that were created to kind of protect in some ways, that's what they're made for. However, there is an adverse effect. That means a negative effect on the environment, as we're going to find out. And we're going to find out what people are doing about this to try to save the environment. Just so you know, friends, the lesson in general is walls and corridors. However, today and tomorrow, we're going to be mainly talking about the walls aspect of it, okay? And in the third day of this lesson, we will be talking about corridors and what that means, especially when it comes to people and the environment. But right now, let's get into this part about walls and corridors, rebuilding shorelines.
Walls and corridors. Designing sea walls and city streets to counter the effects of climate change. Rebuilding shorelines. Morningside Park, a beloved neighborhood park in Miami with sweeping views of Biscayne Bay, will soon pilot an innovative approach to coastal resilience. BioCap Tiles, a 3D printed modular system designed to support marine life and reduce wave impact along urban seawalls, were installed on the existing seawall. BioCap stands for Biodiversity Improvement by Optimizing Coastal Adaptation and Performance. Developed by our team of architects and marine biologists at Florida International University, the uniquely textured prototype tiles are designed to test a new approach for helping cities, such as Miami, adapt to rising sea levels while restoring ecological balance along their shorelines.
You saw the word shoreline at the beginning, and you just heard the word shoreline again, and you also see the word coastal in this section. There is a little bit of a difference. The shoreline is where the water meets the beach or the sand. Basically, it's the shore. You can kind of imagine, you can see it from above. The coast is kind of the same thing, but when we're talking about the coast, we're usually talking about the longer or the bigger area of something. Like maybe there's a region that meets the water, and so there will be the coast, that is the coastal area up and down there. So rebuilding shorelines. Linda, how does our lesson begin?
So we begin in Morningside Park, which is a neighborhood park in Miami, and it has sweeping views of Biscayne Bay.
Now, Linda, when I think of Miami, I kind of think of places like New York and LA, which are just huge and sprawling. So I don't necessarily expect that you have been to the places mentioned in our article because it's so huge. But have you been to Biscayne Bay or?
Yes. Because it's somewhere you go in Miami. Miami is not as big as Los Angeles. It is spread out. Mm-hmm. But actually, the city of Miami is pretty small. And so if you go to downtown Miami, like you will see the bay, or if you go to Miami Beach, you will definitely see Biscayne Bay. And I've actually swam in the bay and gone paddling dragon boat or done dragon boat in Biscayne Bay, which is really, really nice because you have this amazing view of downtown Miami.
That sounds amazing.
And palm trees, and it's a tropical paradise. Yeah.
Wow, that's like the best of both worlds, Linda. I mean, you're combining kind of an Asian activity over there in Miami with the view there.
Yeah, it's actually a popular sport in the States. A lot of places do. You just need a body of water, boats and people willing to battle. Yeah.
That is true. That is so cool. Well, we see here this phrase, a sweeping view of Biscayne Bay. That's a great way to describe it. It sounds like, from what you said too, like if it's something is sweeping, it could mean general. It could just mean it's very vast. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know, we could use that word sweeping in other ways as well. Maybe someone makes a sweeping statement. It's a very general statement where maybe not all the details are true. Like someone could say, ah, all teenagers are lazy. That's kind of a sweeping statement. Maybe there's a stereotype, but it's not true about every person, right? But yeah, that word sweeping can be used in different ways. But we see here the sweeping views, it will soon pilot an innovative approach to coastal resilience. What does it mean to pilot something?
To start, to head up. So this is something that is new, and they want to protect the coast with this new project.
Mm-hmm, that's right. Now, the idea is to have resilience in this area. So what is resilience?
So being resilient, or something that has resilience, is being able to bounce back or recover after difficulty. So this can apply to animate, like to people, to living things, or inanimate objects, things that are not living. So if someone is resilient, they're able to recover maybe after going through a difficult period or experiencing mm-hmm. a difficult event. For the coast, it means bouncing back or recovering or continuing to be strong after experiencing, let's say, a hurricane or storm surge or just being pounded by waves.
Yeah, I generally think of resilience as a very, very good quality to have, mm-hmm. In a person, of course, but especially if you're a leader of some kind, like you need to be resilient. You need to be able to bounce back from mistakes mm-hmm. and failures and keep the company moving forward and keep everyone's morale up. You know, that takes resilience mm-hmm. for sure. And of course, things in nature, you know, can be resilient as well. I've been saying that word resilient. That's the adjective form. It ends in a T instead of a C-E. But we see here BioCap tiles, a 3D printed modular system designed to support marine life and reduce wave impact along urban seawalls. Before we continue, that idea of something that is modular is it has a lot of different parts that can be put together to form something, maybe in different combinations. And if you're curious about what this is, as I was, you can look this up online. You can look it up. There's a channel I found that's called Euronews Green, and they have a video that kind of describes this in detail. So you can see what exactly these 3D printed things look like.
And actually, in the article, mm-hmm. you can see pictures of the 3D printed tiles or samples of them.
Yes, yeah. That's right. That's right. You probably noticed them. Kind of those squiggly lines of clay, right? So they were installed along the existing seawall. If we say that something is existing, that means it is here now. Mm-hmm. It's not something that we're planning in the future. It's here now, currently. BioCap, what does it stand for?
It stands for Biodiversity Improvement by Optimizing Coastal Adaptation and Performance. That's a mouthful. So it's nice that we have an acronym.
That's right. Yeah, a lot of big words sometimes we just break down into acronyms. It's nice. Bio, right? Biodiversity, a lot of things in the environment. You know what improvement is? You're here to improve your English. Optimizing coastal adaptation. That means if you're optimizing something, that means you're trying to put it to the best use.
Mm-hmm. Or make it better, yeah.
Yeah. And of course, when we're working with the environment, then there are a lot of things we have to adapt to as well. And they're trying to do something that is good for both sea life and for people, but here specifically for sea life. Well, developed by our team of architects and marine biologists at Florida International University, the uniquely textured prototype tiles are designed to test a new approach for helping cities such as Miami adapt to rising sea levels, while, which often means at the same time, restoring ecological balance along their shorelines. So we've learned a little bit. We've been talking about this system of 3D printed objects, and here we see another description. They are uniquely textured. What does that mean?
It means that the surface is not smooth. Mm-hmm. It might have different levels on the surface. And this prototype, this early version, we said this is a new project, so this is the test version of the tiles. They are designed to test the approach that they're taking in protecting the coast.
Yeah.
And you asked me at the beginning if I know the places mentioned in this article, and Florida International University is a university that's not too far away from my house. We have that, and then there's also the University of Miami. But I actually took some classes at Florida International University, FIU. Yeah. So I know it very well.
FYI, I took some classes at FIU.
Yes.
That's great. All right. Well, friends, we have more to learn, especially about the cost of these flat walls, these sea walls we've been talking about. Let's get into it.
The ecological cost of flat walls. Sea walls have long served as a primary defense against coastal erosion and storm surges. Typically constructed of concrete and ranging from 6 to 10 feet in height, they are built along shorelines to block waves from eroding the land and flooding nearby urban areas. However, they often come at an ecological cost. Seawalls disrupt natural shoreline dynamics and can wipe out the complex habitat zones that marine life relies on. Marine organisms are crucial in maintaining coastal water quality by filtering excess nutrients, pollutants, and suspended particles. A single adult oyster can filter 20 to 50 gallons of water daily, removing nitrogen, phosphorus, and solids that would otherwise fuel harmful algal blooms. These blooms deplete oxygen levels and damage marine ecosystems. Filter feeding organisms also reduce turbidity, which is the cloudiness of water caused by suspended particles. Less turbidity means more light can penetrate, which benefits seagrasses that require sunlight for photosynthesis. These seagrasses convert carbon dioxide into oxygen and energy-rich sugars while providing food and habitat for marine species.
All right, in this section, perhaps the main takeaway is that there is some very important sea life that sea walls are actually not good for. When we have these sea walls, it is preventing very important things from taking place. So the sea walls we see here have long served. What does it mean if something has long served as something?
It's been like, doing this purpose for a very long time.
Yeah, that's how I would usually say. We could say the sea walls have served as a primary defense for a long time. But of course, it's just much quicker to say they have long served as a primary defense against coastal erosion. Now, there's that word we were talking about earlier.
Yes.
That's the process by which rock, soil, things like that are destroyed by elements in nature, like wind, rain, or the sea. So erosion, of course, takes place over a long period of time. It's happening even as we speak, right?
Yes. Yeah. And it doesn't even have to take that long, but it's just a steady degradation, steady wearing away of the coastline.
That's right. And so these concrete walls, they're 6 to 10 feet in height. They're there to block waves from eroding the land and also flooding nearby urban areas. So that's where the idea of protecting people mm-hmm. comes in, right? However, they come at an ecological cost. If we say something comes at a cost, that means we're not getting this for free.
Right. There's a price to pay.
There's a price to pay. That means there is damage that is done in some way. So they come at a cost. Seawalls disrupt natural shoreline dynamics. And that's what we're going to get into here. If something disrupts something else, that means it was going along fine, but all of a sudden something happens and it makes it go off course or it damages it in some way. And so we read here in the next paragraph, marine organisms are crucial in maintaining coastal water quality by doing what? What is it exactly that they do, Linda?
Filter excess nutrients, pollutants, and suspended particles. And suspended particles are bits of material, tiny bits of material that are suspended here, in this case, liquid, the water, mm-hmm. or it can be in the air.
Yeah. And so, you know, this is something that obviously marine biologists will know a lot about, but not something that most of us give any consideration to. What exactly these creatures in the ocean are doing for the environment, right? I mean,
yes.
we hear things here and there, like sharks. Mm-hmm. They go around cleaning up the ocean, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, and I had no idea how helpful oysters are.
Yeah.
Like an adult oyster can filter 20 to 50 gallons of water a day.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So, a single oyster.
Yes. So, yeah, I didn't, you know, I like oysters. They taste good, but I didn't realize how important they are to the overall ecosystem.
So now are you going to eat fewer oysters, Linda, to make sure we keep more of them in the ocean?
Just make sure that we grow more oysters.
Right, yeah. So that's what they do. They filter this water, removing nitrogen, phosphorus, and solids that would otherwise, that means if these oysters were not there, that would fuel harmful algal blooms. Fuel is usually we think of gas when we think mm-hmm. of the noun fuel, something that powers your car or vehicle or something. But here it's used as a verb in kind of a figurative sense that means to kind of add energy or momentum to this process,
right.
this harmful process or these harmful things, which are algal blooms. An algal bloom is just a ton of algae mm-hmm. That kind of it could be a sudden increase in
right.
the growth of algae.
Just overproduction of algae, and that can be very harmful to the environment. Too much of anything mm-hmm. isn't good, and also in such a short period of time, that disrupts the ecosystem.
Yeah, and perhaps you've seen algal blooms or maybe even swum in them before.
Mm-hmm.
It just looks like a ton of algae on the surface of the water.
Yes,
yeah.
And I have actually seen it in Miami, and it's not fun. You don't want to have to wade through algae.
It doesn't
make a beach pleasant, and you'll probably avoid.
It's kind of like swimming with seaweed, too.
Yeah.
It's not the most pleasant.
Yeah, it's harmful, too. Yeah.
Beach experience, but yeah. So then, of course, these organisms also reduce turbidity. Now, turbidity we see here is the cloudiness of water, and it's usually caused by suspended particles. Another word that came to mind here is the word murky.
Mm-hmm.
If something is murky, that means it's unclear. We can often use these words interchangeably. Maybe the water is turbid. That probably also means it's murky. Murky does have to do more with sight and, you know, the way the water appears. But the ideas are the same. That is M-U-R-K-Y or here, T-U-R-B-I-D. And here we're talking about turbidity. But we do have more to learn, especially about these textured tiles that BioCap is involved with. Let's get into this next section right now.
Textured tiles, living surfaces. Unlike the flat, lifeless surfaces of typical concrete seawalls, each BioCap tile is designed with shaded grooves, crevices, and small water-holding pockets. These textured features mimic natural shoreline conditions and create tiny homes for barnacles, oysters, sponges, and other marine organisms that filter and improve water quality.
All right, there's that word textured again, these textured tiles. That means they're not just flat tiles. Again, the seawalls are just flat. Even if you look at some pictures of seawalls, and in general, overall, they're a huge curved surface, but the surface itself is actually flat. There's no special texture there. But here we're talking about textured tiles and living surfaces. This is interesting. Well, how can a surface be living, Linda?
Well, if it has living organisms mm-hmm. in it or on it, which the BioCap tiles are designed to have, because they have shaded grooves, and a groove is a narrow cut or depression in the surface. So these grooves, crevices, and small water-holding pockets allow life to live in them.
Yeah. You know, you get the idea that, like, sea creatures just love things to swim in and between.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, that's why when you go diving and you come to, like, you might see some fish just swimming around in the, you know, open blue water. But especially when you go to those coral reefs, like, that's where the animals really love to just hang out.
Yes.
Yeah.
You'll find lots of organisms in the coral reef.
And so BioCap is just being very considerate. They know what sea life likes, and they're creating something that is similar to their natural environment with those natural coral reefs. We read, these textured features mimic natural shoreline conditions. What does it mean to mimic something?
To copy, to be like something.
Yeah, and so they create tiny homes for barnacles, oysters, sponges, SpongeBob SquarePants, well, maybe not him, but other marine organisms that filter and improve water quality. So we learned specifically a bit about what an adult oyster can do to help with the ecosystem there, with the filtering of the quality of water. But I mean, there are a lot of other animals down there, too, that do the same thing.
Yeah, sponges also do some filtering. And barnacles, which are similar to oysters, they're shelled creatures that stick onto surfaces like rocks or on the bottom of boats. You'll see, like, boats that, if they stay in the water all the time, they'll be just covered on the bottom with barnacles.
Linda, have you ever eaten barnacles before?
I don't think I have, but I've seen many. I imagine so, yeah.
I had it. I didn't realize you could eat barnacles because it just seems like a hard, shelly thing. But we were in Matsu 2 years ago.
Okay.
At one of the dinners, like,
They serve barnacles.
Yeah, in Chinese, tonghu. And I was like, what? What's this? Like, who eats barnacles?
Okay.
But yeah, it's a delicacy.
Yeah. Is it similar to, like, the texture of oysters?
Yeah, it's... I don't really remember. I just remember it being very hard.
Okay.
You know, and that's the part you're not supposed to eat, of course.
Right.
But that's
what
you think of when you think of barnacles.
Yeah. But there is something living inside.
Exactly.
And apparently you can eat it.
You can eat that thing. Yeah, exactly. I mean, I've definitely scratched my feet on barnacles before.
That will hurt.
You know, walking in the ocean. Yeah. Anyway, friends, there are very important sea creatures out there, you know, that need to continue doing their jobs, and BioCap is trying to help them do that. Well, we do have more to learn about BioCap and what they are doing, so you're going to have to join us next time as we get into that part of our lesson. My name is Gabe.
I'm Linda.
Saying goodbye for now.
Goodbye.